And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, I must admit this.
You think I'm going to kid?
He's like, I'm not kidding at all. I must admit, I appreciate that Paul argued with the Lord when he was Saul. It's not right to argue with God. It's just much more common than we admit. When Jesus gave a command, Saul responded, but Lord, which is a polite way of expressing a different opinion. However, Jesus' words always prevail. This is a recounting of a past experience by Paul, leaving no room for misinterpretation. Next, in his recounting, Paul mentions that Jesus said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. In our society, certain words can, quote unquote, trigger strong reactions. And this was true 2,000 years ago. The crowd reacted strongly when they heard the word Gentiles. It's worth noting that it was Jesus who used this word, proving that even he used and uses words that trigger people. And finally, when questioned, Paul confirmed his citizenship by birth, while the commander admitted that his citizenship had come at a high cost. This reflects the biblical principle that citizenship is not an earned right for those who are outside of the country. They don't get it because they're outside of the country. It's a point that's reiterated multiple times in the Word of God. Citizenship in every land is costly for foreigners. Think about this. Those who aren't citizens of heaven are going to have a high cost to pay. Good point, Dave.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. So Noelle and I are just getting out of the surviving, specifically her, and we're just starting to get back into living. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, Noive, so much more. Now remember, please, it's not professional radio. What kind of radio is it, Jacob? What kind of radio is it?
Just radio.
It's just radio. You heard him. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us. What? 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. I will miss you tomorrow, but I will not miss you tomorrow at the same time, so you can understand how that works. Not that I won't miss you, but I won't miss you. Just want to make sure you get that.
A little bit of a break's always nice.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit. Amen to that. Amen to that. That's all I'm going to say. No, she went in. She got to work yesterday at 5 in the morning. She came home just shy of 10, 15. It's just crazy. It's just what a trooper. She's way better.
She said she walked in and said hello and then good night.
No, she actually went to stand for a little bit just to kind of wind down, which who can blame her? It's like, I wouldn't do it. Anyhow, here's the bottom line. She said, you can go and work at my place for you. I said, I'm not working for you. No, that's not happening. Anyhow, here it is. If you want to call us, you can call us, the 972-445-0770. You can text us, 214-210-8483, or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. You can do that if you've got a praise report, because praise reports are cool. You can do that if you have a prayer request, because prayer requests are necessary. You can do that for something you want to share. Lord's just put it on your heart, just something really blessed you, or something you want to, you know, ask a question about, trying to figure stuff out. Abraham, he knew a lot. That was good from Samson. Nice job. So, you know, those are available. Plus, we'll do history. Plus, we'll do a couple of jokes if I can work them in. Plus, we'll do Bible trivia. Here's your Bible trivia. Must consider this carefully. Listen to my words. When did Zechariah speak again? When he did it, you know, when he spoke again, was it when John the Baptist was 8 years old, 8 days old, or 8 weeks old? Your reference is Luke chapter 1, verse 59 through 64. But Luke 1:59, when did Zechariah speak again after John the Baptist was born? When did he speak again? Was it 8 years old, 8 days old, or 8 weeks old? That is the question, if you think you know. You are welcome to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How old? I'm sorry. When did Zechariah speak? When John the Baptist was 8 years old, 8 days old, or 8 weeks old? Your reference, Luke chapter 1, verse 59 through 64. In the meantime, we will do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Let's think about that. The word daily somewhat implies every day. Oh, yeah, I guess that does. That's what it is. Just spend time with the Lord every day. I mean, every day. Think, well, should it be this amount of time, this amount of time? I don't know. If that helps you to have a specific amount of time, do that. If it helps you not to have a specific amount of time, but you're going to do it every day, do that. I'm going to read X amount of chapters in the Bible. Great. I'm going to read for an X amount of time. Great. I'm going to read this, then that. Great, great, great. Great, 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 great. Just do it. Don't make a plan about it. Look at it and go, yeah, I'm going to get to that. Do it. Don't try. Just do. Get it? Okay. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never. Be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Just leave it there. You know it's true. All right. Then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. How important is that? I don't know. How important is it for us to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I think that's pretty much. I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian if you're not doing what Jesus did. You're not a Christian if you're not following the teachings of Jesus. You're not a Christian if you're not doing what he said to do. And he served. And he told us to serve one another. So that's what we do. And we do it because it honors him. It's obedience to him. It reflects him. And he blesses us for doing that which he desires us to do. It's like, okay. Got it. It's an all-win situation. Does that mean you're going to be serving every 3 seconds? No. What it means is you got to be ready. And that's the biggest thing I keep trying to tell people. People are thinking, well, I've got to be doing the service in the kingdom of God from the minute I get off of work to the minute I go to bed. No, that's not what it says. That's not what Jesus says. Not even what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus went to a wedding. You don't think the entire wedding he was teaching, do you? He sat there and enjoyed the wedding. You just have to always be ready to serve. Like we said yesterday, when you're getting ready to go into a fencing match, is en garde. Well, have your brain in en garde position. Get it? D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Your trivia question, when did Zechariah speak again? When John the Baptist was 8 years old, 8 days old, or 8 weeks old? Luke chapter 1, that'd be verse 59 through 64. Make sure we get that. Let's take a moment and pray for our brother Will, who's going through a lot of stuff right now, which is not fun. And then we'll get into the teaching. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you and praise you. I thank you personally for letting Noelle get through what she had to get through. It's not that it's impossible, Lord. It's just hard. And we just thank you for getting us through that and keeping us united in one mind and one accord the whole time. And, Lord, I want to lift up my brother Will. He's got – there's health issues for other family members, people that don't know who you are, as well as the financial issues and burdens that are upon Will and on his wife. And we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would pour grace upon Will. Pour your grace out. Give him a break. Help him get some breathing room. Let him not be overwhelmed, but rather let there be a peace that settles in and comforts his heart. We ask you to bless our brother and his wife and their family. And love on them. And Lord, our love is to him, and we're asking you to send it for us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. So you got your trivia question. If nobody answers, we'll get to it. But in the meantime, we're getting into the Word of God, because this is I've been waiting to teach this for so long. I'm not even sure I'm teaching this as much as sharing this, which is fine. I don't really mind that as much sometimes. But here's the Apostle Paul. He's recounting his situation where he meets Jesus when he's Saul, right? He's already had Ananias. We talked about it last week. Said, hey, get up. Go get baptized. Be washed. Get going, brother. In fact, that was the day we had Jay Cullen bring a really great point, which I really appreciated, about the Church of Christ. Mega props for that. That was really good. So here's Paul. He's recounting the situation. And I just want you to see how this goes on. One day, this is verse 17, one day after I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, and I fell into a trance. I saw Jesus, a vision of Jesus, saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't believe you, and they won't believe you when you tell them or give them your testimony about me. Verse 19, but Lord, I argued, they certainly know that I imprisoned and beat those in every synagogue who believe in you. Let me just stop you right here. Jesus gives a, you're thinking, well, this must have been an angel. Okay, just read it again, okay? I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem. The people here, they're not going to believe you when you give them your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued. See, here's the thing. He's engaging in dialogue with the Lord. And there was a disagreement that he had with Jesus. And this serves as a reminder that questioning and wrestling with God's communication is a shared experience, even among the greatest leaders like Moses and like Paul. I mean, these are like very powerful people that are like going, what? What about this? What about this? And Paul is trying to win his case. I just want you to catch this. He's giving him the case. He says, well, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I don't. How can this be? He's arguing with the Lord, saying, they certainly know that I imprisoned and beat those in every synagogue who believe in you. And when your witness Stephen was killed, I was standing there agreeing. In other words, look, they can't deny I was against you and now I'm for you. See, Paul was using his own reasoning to argue with God.
Wait, let me just ask this question real quickly. Wait.
Sound familiar? It's like when you and I go, but, and then you fill in whatever your but is because you're just thinking, this is going to be a solution I'm going to give God. I'm going to win this argument, which never happens, right?
He's like,
Oh, my goodness. He's going after it. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to win his case. He's trying to win. And what is it that Jesus says? We're going to get to this, but he goes, after your witness Stephen was killed, I was standing there agreeing. I kept their coats and laid aside as they stoned him. So I was against it, and now I'm for it. And the Lord said to me, leave Jerusalem. I'm going to send you far away to the Gentiles. All right, now just stop right there before we get to that part of it. I just want you to catch that Paul is arguing. And he's not trying to be defiant. That is not his goal. He has in his mind this reasoning. Well, they already know I was this terrible guy, and now I'm preaching this other thing. How will they not all just love me? And the answer is they won't all love you. They're not going to love you. In fact, they're going to less than love you. It's time for you to go. That's the Lord. But I love that he argued with them. It's like, yeah. And I know I'm the only Christian who's ever argued with God besides Paul and Moses and every other Christian that's been a Christian for more than an hour. All right, your trivia question. When did Zechariah speak again? After John the Baptist, it was how old did he speak again? Was John the Baptist 8 years old, 8 days old, or 8 weeks old? And your answer is 8 days old. Not the Beatles song, 8 days a week, just 8 days old. Get it? Got it? Cool. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the what skin. Is the David Spoon Experience?
Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our words will justify us or condemn us. And we understand our words will justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts. So therefore, in conclusion, that our words justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts, we need to remember and operate and function in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, which says this. And actually, you can even look at verse 19. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know that by your words you're justified and condemned, because you know they reveal your heart, you ought to make sure that you follow the scriptures that Paul commands us to follow, and you ought to be being thankful in everything. You ought to be being thankful in everything. And if you are thankful in everything, that will be a part of your verbalization or your speech, and that will be a revelation as to what's in your heart. Are you a thankful Christian for everything? And you say, well, Dave, I'm thankful that he saved me, but I'm going through this trial and I don't like it. I'm not so thankful for the trial. And I say, I understand that. Again, not a new revelation coming right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells you the ticket, the method, the system by which you can be thankful in everything. Dave, are you going to mean I should be thankful in a divorce proceeding? I should be thankful that my brother is a drug addict? I should be thankful that I'm going bankrupt? I should be thankful that these terrible things are happening? Or that I should be thankful that I can't sleep? No, I think you should read Romans 8, 28 with me and respond to this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So I think the answer is, can you be thankful in all those things? Yes. For going through a divorce? No. But that God is going to work into your lives good things through this process? Absolutely. If you don't believe that God is going to work things that are good into your lives in your trial, you don't believe anything he says. Because one of the greatest premises that Jesus laid down is, and I caught this just earlier this week, let not your hearts be troubled. There will be trouble in the world. I've overcome the world. It's like, but Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, as though we had a choice. We do. We do. And we should be thankful in all of it while we're going through for the actual drug addiction. No, but that God's not going to give up on the person. He's going to work good out of it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM Amen 770, the truth station here in Texas. I can't believe the show's half over. I was just like, what is going on around here? It's like a time warp when we come in here. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know what's so funny is this show's an hour and a half. It's funny because driving home, it can take like, you know, or driving in, it can take like 40, 45 minutes. That seems like an hour and a half.
Right, you're always stuck in traffic and you're like, I'm never going to get home. And then you look, you're like, wait, I've only been driving for like 15 minutes.
That's so funny.
All right, here we go. Now, you must listen. I don't know how to say this any differently. You must listen how I say the question. So if I say it bad, you can just forgive me, but that's not the point. By general consensus, okay, let me say that differently. Overall, how we tend to view it, okay? How many people attended the Last Supper? Is it 12 people, 13 people, or 120 people? By the general consensus, yes, you can use the painting. Okay? No, he wasn't there painting it because that would make more people. By general consensus, how many people attended the Last Supper? 12 people, 13 people, or 120 people? That's the question. Your real answer is going to be Matthew 26, 17 through 30, because that's kind of where we're pulling that from, right? It's not an absolute, but it's pretty close, right? Matthew 26, 17 through 30. I got all my numbers all over the place, okay? How many people attended the Last Supper? I got to stop saying summer.
How many people attended the Last Supper? I don't know. Was that the summer of Woodstock?
I don't know. Is that 12 people, 13 people, or 120 people that attended the Last Supper? Matthew 6, 26, 17 through 30. If you think you know the answer, call me and bail me out. I'm just tripping over my words. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email david@hemustincrease.org. There is your opportunities to respond. We will wait on the jokes and on the history till the further in we get. Because I want to get into this next thing, because this is, I think this is just legendary classic stuff. I happen to like it when scripture shows you something and then you read it and you go, wow, how does that apply today? So I just want to get to it and show you how it applies today all over the place. It's kind of like my nice way of saying it. So this is then Jesus. Jesus is responding to Paul's argument. Remember, that's where we left off. Okay. Responding to the argument. And Paul is simply recounting the conversation, right? He's recounting it. If you have a letter, Christ's words in red Bible, you'll see in verse 21 that this is the words of Christ, right? Because it says, but the Lord said to me. You know, right? That's the key. So, but the Lord said to me, leave Jerusalem and I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So Paul is recounting what Jesus said to him. Paul argued, not going to win it. Lord, I argued, they certainly know that I imprisoned and beat those in every synagogue who believed in you. And when your witness Stephen was killed, I was standing agreeing. I kept the coats they laid aside as they stoned him. But the Lord said to me, leave Jerusalem and I will send you far away to the Gentiles. In his recounting, Paul mentions that Jesus said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. In our society, certain words, right, trigger, right? If you say LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ, there's 5% of the population, not 14%. That's absurd. 5% of the population that loses their mind, except for all the people that are connected to the woke joke, okay? It's besides them. Words trigger people. Sayings trigger people. If you say the word MAGA in a Democratic convention, you're likely to get stoned with real rocks. Just think about that. If you say any kind of word, if you say Jew, I'm Jewish. I can say Jew as often as I want. You say that in some kind of Hamas meeting, you're dead. Words trigger people. Paul recounts what Jesus said. Jesus said the word Gentile. Listen to this. The crowd listened, this is verse 22, until Paul came to that word. Then with one voice, they shouted, "Away with such a fellow! Kill him! He isn't fit to live!" They yelled, threw off their coats, and tossed handful of dust into the air. They heard the word Gentile. These were Jewish people. And they went, "Aah!" And they started screaming. And they're just like, "Away with this guy. Kill this guy. He's not fit to live." And they're taking clumps of dirt and throwing it into the air. They're just like throwing dust into the air and screaming at him. Talk about a trigger, right? Here's the key. Jesus is the one who used the word. That's what I find amazing. Proving that even he used words that trigger people.
Well, you can't say anything offensive.
Well, never read the Bible because you are in for a very, very sorry experience if you have that mindset, which is a worldly, humanistic, demonic origin mindset.
So Jesus speaks the trigger word. Paul simply repeats it. The people lose their minds.
This has been going on for thousands of years. This is not new in society. This isn't new. There's none of this is new. I just want you to be aware that these are repeating patterns of stupidity. I guess that's a great way to say it. And people just, and that's what they were doing, by the way. They were going, throwing dust in the air, screaming, kill him, away from him. He's not fit to live. They were losing it. Because Paul recounted that Jesus said the word Gentiles. Incredible. But common today, isn't it? It's just so weird. Now, lest you think this is only against Democratic positions, and I want you to be very careful here when I say this, if you say to a conservative, green energy, they lose it too. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. It's all triggers. It's like, calm down. Nothing is going to happen that God is not aware. Nothing's going to happen. Our country's going to fall. If that's what the Lord ordained, you ain't going to stop it. In fact, the only thing that can save our country is not an election, it's prayer. Outside of that, we're in trouble. How many people attended the Last Supper? How many people attended the Last Supper? Was it 12, 13, or 120? The answer is 13, Matthew 26, 17 through 3, because all 12 disciples were there plus Jesus. Ooh, that's kind of sneaky. Judas left, but he was still attended. He left during it, but he was still there. Okay, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here. Oh, I did it. I just gave it. I just gave the answer. you're listening to David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are we eating the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where some of you may have heard a little bit of a clink from a pink ping pong ball. And so we will give the acknowledgement, or I will let Jacob give the acknowledgement, that we did in fact answer the trivia question before we broke. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
So we do have 1 credit.
you got one back. Wasn't there a show where we forgot like twice?
Yes. So this is why we've done it. So the purpose is to keep me like in line, which is really hard, right? Because it's like it just go wherever. But Jacob doesn't know the pink ping pong ball story. So before we give you the next trivia question, I feel obligated to tell him the story so he can understand. And when he hears it, he might just throw the ball at the window anyway. So back in the day when Chris was doing the position that you're doing the production of the show and being not just the engineer per se, but also assisting in the show, I told a joke about pink ping pong balls. When we were younger, we heard this joke. Now, well, I'm talking about 55 years ago, okay? And so I'll just briefly tell it because we don't have time to tell the whole joke. But if you can insert in your mind an extra 5 minutes in it, you'll understand what it's all about. So there's this guy, and he asked his parents for Christmas. He just wanted pink ping pong balls. And so they got him the Christmas present, but he didn't get pink ping pong balls. And so he was really upset. So they got married, and then he says to his wife, "She, what do you want for a wedding present?" He goes, "I want pink ping pong balls." And she didn't get him the pink ping pong balls, and she got him a nice watch. But he's like, "Yeah, but I wanted pink ping pong balls." So that didn't work out. So then he has his kids, and his kids are growing up, and they throw a party for their dad, happy birthday party. And he said, "What do you want, Dad?" "I want pink ping pong balls." And nobody would get him pink ping pong balls. And so they got him all these other presents, and he was like kind of getting upset. And then the kids started to have their own kids, and so they had a big family meeting and everything. And it's like, "Grandpa, you're at that point now. You're getting older. What do you want?" He goes, "I want pink ping pong balls." Like, "No, we're going to get you something else." They said, "But I want pink ping pong balls." And so now he's on his deathbed, not going well, and he knows he's exiting. And so all the families gather around. They say, "What?
what has gone on your why do you want pink ping pong balls? And he goes, I want pink ping pong balls because, and then he died.
That's pretty good.
See, so it has no actual value.
We will never know.
You'll never know why. And that's how the pink ping pong balls game. And then Chris bought like pink ping pong balls. I bought some and then he bought some.
Okay, so that's why there's like 10 pink ping pong balls.
Yes.
Ping pong balls is laying over here.
And then we started using those as indicators to reach out to each other who weren't making sense to each other. That's right, folks. That's the kind of stuff we do here.
Yeah, I can throw one right now because we have like 9 more.
No, let's wait. But is that hilarious?
That was good.
Okay. Here's your trivia question. In John's vision in Revelation 1:15, what part of Jesus' body was like fine brass? What part of Jesus' body was like fine brass? Was it his hands, his feet, or his back? What part of Jesus' body was like fine brass? Is it his hands, his feet, or his back? Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So somewhere right there about the Revelation 1:15-ish spot, just trying to find out which part of Jesus' body was like fine brass. Was it his hands, his feet, or his back? Those are your options, okay? So if you want to reach out to us, you can. Again, I do, by the way, need to send you up to the website. I almost forgot that, so it's good you had the ping ping bong ball out there. On the website is cool stuff. I think the stuff is pretty cool. We're adding something that you don't know about. Let's just say the phrase audiobook coming your way. That's going to be heading in there pretty soon, so you can listen to the audiobook. We're going to get that coordinated. The bottom line is we can use a little bit of extra money, and I need you guys to help me do that. So if you can give, great. If you can't, you still go to the site. There's still stuff like for the ambassador program. Not only do we have bumper stickers and business cards, which we just give to people for free, but we also have brochures. And in fact, Rosin helped us make some of those brochures. We have different kinds of brochures. We have like 6 different kinds that we're glad to give you. We'd love to give it to you. And you don't have a quota. We just want you to have it with you. And if you come across somebody and think, man, they probably like this show, that might be a blessing. Then you just have it around. You just say, hey, check this out. You might like it. There's no obligation, no follow-up, nothing. It's just an opportunity to introduction, unless the Lord puts it on your heart. So that's also on the website. So you've got that. You've got the prayer request, super easy to fill out. You got praise reports, even easier to fill out. And so there's all that stuff on there for the purpose of encouraging. That's our goal. Plus the giving opportunity. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Yes. That's what's going to happen at 3:01. I'm gone. Okay. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm in the wind down because I'm going to get some time with Noelle. She did 17 hours yesterday at work, which is just like, that's too much. So, she's gonna take some time off. I'm going to take some time off. So Friday, tomorrow will be a replay. But it's a really good replay. So it's not a bad one. So, it's not that we replay a bad one. That's not the point. So anyway, but I'm doing better because she's done with the major part of that. So thank you for asking me. I appreciate that. All right. Let me set it up for you. You hit it out of the park and then we'll pray for you. Is that good?
Okay.
All right. In John's vision, what part of Jesus' body was like fine brass? Was it his hands, his feet, or his back?
His back.
It was his back. Now, I'm going to double check that because there's two people that said back and then two people that said feet. So I'm going to go right.
No, it's back. It's his back.
It's his back. I'm going to it. I'm going to it because I want to make sure because I think it's Revelation 1:15, and that says his.
I said 1:18. All right. What I said in 1:18 is what I checked.
Yeah, no, 1:15. It says his feet were like fine brass.
Oh, well, in 18, it says it was like his
let's
back.
See. Well,
check,
yeah,
check 18.
Yeah, let's see. His hand says, verse 18 on chapter 1, because that's the I'm he who was alive and was dead and forevermore. So the Revelation 1, right?
Revelation 1:18, I think it said his back was like brass.
Well, I'm going to give you partial credit for that, but I think it's feet because 1:15 says his feet were like brass. His voice was like the sound of many waters. So I'm gonna give you partial credit on that because
what do you have for 18 then? 1 verse 18.
Says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold I am alive forevermore. Amen, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death.
Well, I could have looked it up wrong.
Well, that's okay. It's not like it's a that's one thing you'll never forget the rest of your life. If somebody says Revelation 1:15, you'll go feet. That's what you're gonna say. So we're going to give you – we're still going to give it to you because there's a credit there because if there's something in the back, that's close enough. So a partial clap, clap, clap will be worth it. There, that's what we did. But, yeah, we were looking for 15, which was his feet were like fine brass, just so you can know.
Okay.
All right. Let me pray for you, brother. Father, we come before you right now, and I thank you and praise you for my brother. And I pray that you would bless him. He's got some financial things got to be worked out, little things that go on in life that he could use a little help with. But, Lord, he needs to be healed. And all the stuff that we talk about and bring before you, limited. But what he needs is healing. He needs his body to be touched by the power of your spirit. He needs the name of Jesus Christ and the wounds, the stripes of Jesus Christ to be applied to his body. He needs to be like the woman who touched the hem and get the fullness of healing inside his system. He can't do it without you. We can't do it without you. And you can do this. So we ask you to bring healing power into Gary's body. Help him in the other things, absolutely. But Lord, he needs healing. Heal our brother, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And I'll be praying for all of you. And God bless you.
You too, brother. God bless you. All right, so now we're going to go. I got two more sections. This one's a short section anyway, so it kind of works out really perfect. Yeah, I love how the Lord does that. Okay, so now this is after all the people got triggered.
Ah, he's a Gentile. Oh, he said the word.
This is verse 24. The commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so furious. As they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen? Before we get into the citizenship part of this, I want you to understand something. The commander brought Paul inside without any formal order and commanded him to be whipped. This is a clear process to get a confession under duress. The commander was trying to understand why the crowd was so agitated. The situation highlighted how our reactions to a crowd, listen to what I'm going to say, this is huge. Our reactions to a crowd can influence our actions and words, even if we're at a distance. We can be just as culpable, even as our actions are not as extreme. But sometimes people feed indirectly off other people's outrage. So my warning to you in this is to be careful or aware in politics, specifically what's going on now, not to be fueled by other people's outrage. Do you understand what that means? You don't just follow the group. You evaluate, you investigate. In fact, in Scripture, it's amazing, in Deuteronomy, the word investigate is used so many times. It's investigate thoroughly. Investigate thoroughly. Don't just read it and say it's so because it's in on a website. Find out. Read it in five different places. Get the balance from it. don't feed off of other people's outrage. You hear me? Super important. That, I mean, when you do that, you're letting people influence your insights and not the Lord. Ouch. Take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, nah, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Amazing grace. How sweet the
sound. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our last trivia question. What was the relationship between Jonathan and David? Were they brother-in-laws, brothers, or cousins? Your answer is in 1 Samuel 18:27. What was the relationship between Jonathan and David? Were they brother-in-laws, brothers, or cousins? Again, your answer is in 1 Samuel 18:27. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And if you call in and it's like, you know, you get like, well, kind of questionable and da-da-da, no big deal. That's part of growing and learning and being a part of it with one another. Who cares? Not that big a deal. Here's what I do want to do. I want to make sure you understand that we're going to do a very brief run into history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live.
All right, today is National Butterscotch Day. I like butterscotch.
Me
like
too.
Yeah, I like it. I like that on ice cream too. That butterscotch, I love that. I think it tastes good. Wonderful. All right, it's National Hippo Day. I have no idea what to do with that. What do you do with that? Is that like the Hungry Hippo game that we used to play when we were kids? Or I don't have any idea. It is National Gumdrop Day. Okay, I can buy into that. It is also National Flag Day in Canada, and I just want to make sure you understand that. So Canada's new red and white maple leaf flag is officially raised for the first time on February 15th in 1965. So they changed their flag, just so you can know. 1903, technically, the first teddy bear was made.
And it was at Build-A-Bear.
No, it was not yet Build-A-Bear. No, but boy did they do it wisely. Anyhow, and then finally in 1950, on this day, the movie Cinderella was released. And then anything released after 1999 on Cinderella was just a complete flop and stupid to do. Okay, so... I do want people to know we don't normally do. We're doing a little bit more politics today than normal. That's you're thinking, well, that's planned. Nope, that's not how this goes. Never goes that way. It's just the text and what we're doing. So sometimes you got to hear that as well so you can keep your mind right. Remember, only God holds the future. Who's in charge of the kingdom of men? Read the book of Daniel. You'll be absolutely sure. After you do, our trivia question, what was the degree of relationship between Jonathan and David? Brother-in-laws, brothers, or cousins? Your answer, 1 Samuel 18:27. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Back to the text we go, verse 26. The officer, so they had Paul whipped, by the way. So we want to go back. As Paul was tied down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried? The officer went to the commander and asked, what are you doing? This man's a Roman citizen. So the commander went over and asked Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes. I certainly am, Paul replied. I am too, the commander muttered, and it cost me plenty. Paul responded, I'm a citizen by birth. The soldiers who were about to interrogate Paul quickly withdrew when they heard he was a Roman citizen, and the commander was frightened because he had ordered him bound and whipped. Wow! Right? Yowza! What does that mean? Here's what it means. They were getting ready to whip Paul. They were getting ready to beat him. They're going to try and get a confession out of him one way or another. You know, the deprived sleep, keep him in the rooms, keep smacking him around kind of thing. That thing. Then, when they find out he's a Roman citizen, what do? They back off. Why? It was against the law to whip a Roman citizen without a trial. They were going to get in a lot of trouble. Now, we do have somebody who's calling in. We're going to give them a chance to answer and do it quickly, so as long as they know it's quick, because I want you to understand the difference between Paul's citizenship and the Roman soldier's citizenship. So let's have the person come through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Joanne. I have the answer to your trivia question.
Okay, what degree of relationship between Jonathan and David existed? Is it brother-in-law, brother, or cousin?
Brother-in-law.
That is correct, Amundo!
Yay!
For Samuel 18:27, David was married to the sister, to Saul's daughter. That's right. Very
to
good,
McCall.
Joanne.
Or Michael, however you say
it. Yeah, right. Or Mikkel. Actually, it's Mikkel, I think, is what it is. But that's right.
Well,
yep. Excellent job.
Wow. And speaking of marriage, may you enjoy your bride this weekend. Proud of you for taking tomorrow off. And blessings to that beautiful lady and to you and all the audience. Thank you for a great show today.
Thank
Loved
you.
It.
Thank
Loved
you
it.
So much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's always nice, right? So nice. Thank you so much. Two phenomenal sisters, right? Cordelia and Joanne. Okay. All right, let me go back to this because I got about 2 minutes, and then we'll just close it out. Okay, so listen. So the Roman, the Roman officer, the commander, actually, he's like asking Paul. He's like, you're a Roman citizen? Paul's like, yep. Yep. Okay, so here, look at what he says. He goes, I am too, the commander muttered, and it cost me plenty. What do you mean it cost him plenty? Because Paul's response is, I'm a citizen by birth. People who are born in citizenship have a different status than people who just come into the country who are not born in the country. They have to go through different steps to reach citizenship. I am not sure what part of the book of Acts politicians are reading, but it's certainly not this chapter because it's evident to what's going on. When questioned and Paul confirms his citizenship by birth, the commander admits his citizenship came at a high cost. This reflects the biblical principle that citizenship is not an entitlement right to those who are outside the country. And this is reiterated about 8 times in the scripture. Citizenship in every land is costly for foreigners. And just think about this one simple point. If you're not a citizen in heaven and you don't get in by Jesus Christ, that's going to be costly in a whole nother way. So when they're sitting there talking about the people are entitled and they own should have citizenship and so on and so forth, that's not Christian. That's not biblical at all. It's just absurd. It just doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, in the time of Solomon, there were completely different tax structures, and people that were foreigners had a higher tax. Yeah, nobody's going to talk about that. You want to know why? It doesn't fit the agenda. I don't care. I want the Bible. I want the Word of God. I want the truth. I think God knows how to do it. I don't know. Call me crazy. Oh, wait. Actually, let's call them crazy. I think we're normal, no, because we believe God can write a book. Sorry. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 94-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.